So I'm going to warn you in advance, this is one of the longer ones, longer articles in the Belgian Confession. It goes into a few pages, so you're just invited to follow along as I read through it. It's a long article, and it's kind of rebutting the practice in the Reformation time and in the medieval world of praying to the saints. So the question is, who do we pray to? Do we pray to Mary? Do we pray to St. Paul, St. Peter, any other kind of saint? And the answer, of course, is that we pray to our God and Father through the work of Jesus Christ. He's our advocate, and we pray as well by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the intercession of Jesus Christ, we are bold to come into God's presence because of Jesus Christ. And so the intercession of Christ is what this article is about. Article 26, you're invited to follow along, page 842. We believe that we have access to God except that we have no access to God except through the one only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ the righteous. He therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we would have no access. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one, according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Christ Jesus does. Although he was in the form of God, he had nevertheless emptied himself, taking the form of a man and a servant for us, and he made himself completely like his brothers. Suppose we had to find another intercessor, who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies? And suppose we had to find one who has prestige and power, who has as much as these as he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who has all power in heaven and on earth, and who will be heard more readily than God's own dearly beloved Son. So then, sheer unbelief has led to the practice of dishonoring the saints instead of honoring them. That was something the saints never did nor asked for, but which, in keeping with their duty as appears from their writings, they consistently refused. We should not plead here that we are unworthy, for it is not a question of offering our prayers on the basis of our own indignity, but only on the basis of the excellence and dignity of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is ours by faith. Since the apostle, for good reason, wants us to get rid of this foolish fear, or rather this unbelief, he says to us that Christ Jesus was made like his brothers in all things, that he might be a high priest who is merciful and faithful to purify the sins of the people. For since he suffered, being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. And further, to encourage us more to approach him, he says, since we have a high priest, Jesus the Son of God, who has entered into heaven, we maintain our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to have compassion for our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things just as we are, except for sin. Let us go then with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in order to be helped. The same apostle says that we have liberty to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us go then in assurance of faith. Likewise, Christ's priesthood is forever. By this, he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, who always lives to intercede for them. What more do we need? For Christ himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why should we seek another intercessor? Since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor, let us not leave him for another, or rather seek without ever finding. For when God gave him to us, we knew well that we were sinners. Therefore, in following the command of Christ, we call on the Heavenly Father, through Christ, our only mediator, as he taught by the Lord's Prayer, being assured that we shall obtain all we ask of the Father in his name. Interesting article. Article 26 of the Belgian Confession. And then we turn to the scripture, which also mentions the intercession of Christ. Romans chapter 8, a very beautiful passage. Actually, I quoted that in my sermon this morning as well. Romans chapter 8, 31 to 39. Very end of Romans chapter 8. Page 1758 in your pew Bible. I'll read the passage and say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. 31 to 39. Paul says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither the angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if you know this or not, but Article 26 is the longest article in the Belgic Confession. That's correct. There's a lot of words in there, isn't it? And what's this article about again? Article 26 is about the intercession of Jesus Christ. So maybe you don't exactly know what that means. Well, I'll put it this way. Where is Jesus right now? Jesus is in heaven. He sits at God's right hand. And what's he doing? He's interceding. What that basically means, he's speaking to God the Father on our behalf. He's representing us. He is defending us, so to speak. He's speaking on our behalf before the Father in heaven. He's interceding. That's what he's doing. And so the intercession of Jesus Christ, that's what this lengthy Article 26 is all about. A comment about why we're dealing with this subject here tonight. Why does the Belgic Confession address this topic next in the overall flow of things? Doesn't this discussion belong maybe somewhere else? I mean, what's this article about? It's about Jesus Christ. It's a lot about his person and work. You'd think that the intercession of Christ would maybe fit a little better in a section that actually addresses Jesus Christ or the Trinity or something like that. Why does the Belgic Confession talk about the intercession of Jesus Christ at this spot? Good question. Congregation, note where we are then in the Belgic Confession. A few Sundays ago, we talked about justification. What's justification again? Justification is God's declaration. It is God's verdict in his heavenly courtroom where he declares that we are holy and righteous all because of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. We talked about sanctification after that. What's sanctification again? Sanctification is the process that we undergo by which God makes us into what he has declared us to be in justification. Hear me out. In justification, God gives us a new status. He declares, you are now considered holy and righteous through Jesus Christ. In sanctification, God actually works in us, in our hearts, he works in our lives to make us holy and righteous. Last time we looked at the Belgic Confession, we talked about the law. We talked about the law because the law is what the Holy Spirit uses in the sanctification process. We need some kind of standard to work towards, right? Sure, that's why we have the law. The law is like the boundaries for our lives in Christ. We know we're becoming holy. We know we're becoming righteous. We know we're becoming more Christ-like. We know we are being more sanctified by the Holy Spirit when our lives better reflect perfect obedience to his law. So that's why we talked about the law last time. Justification, God's verdict in the heavenly courtroom. Sanctification, the process of becoming holy, and then we looked at God's law. Congregation, isn't it interesting that although Christians are blessed with so much. I mean, here we are. By grace, we are justified. By grace, we are in the process of sanctification. By grace, we are given God's perfect law. Isn't it interesting that although we are blessed with so much, we still fall down so much? Isn't it interesting that we still sin? Here we are, we have a new status. The Holy Spirit actually dwells within us to sanctify us. We're given His law to guide us, and still we stumble so much. Isn't that interesting? I guess the point is, the sanctification process, it's a struggle. It's not easy all the time. Sometimes it looks as if instead of moving ahead spiritually, we move back. You ever have that? Sometimes when we fall, we wonder if the Holy Spirit is even working in us at all. Sometimes we wonder if we're even justified. Sometimes we wonder if we're even saved at all. Do you ever have that? That's why, for the person who lives by faith, it's good to know that in the sanctification process, not only do we have God's gracious verdict, not only do we have the Holy Spirit working in there, not only do we have the law to guide us, we also have an intercessor in heaven, who is Jesus Christ. It's in this context that we discuss this important issue of the intercession of Jesus Christ. Congregation, it's rather interesting that many may be led to believe that Jesus Christ, He did all of His work to bless us when He lived on earth. It was while He was on earth that He preached the gospel and He healed the sick. It was while He was on earth, He suffered His passion. He died at the cross and rose again to win our salvation. Some might be led to believe that once Christ did all of that and went up into heaven, all He did now was sit back and relax. Dear friends, is Christ only sitting back and relaxing up there? Hardly at all. He continues to be busy. He continues to work for us to be a blessing for His people. What is Christ doing up there? Well, He rules as king, first of all. And so, sure, He rules. He governs the world. Remember Matthew 28? Right before Jesus went up into heaven, Jesus said to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." And so now He rules, which is only right. I mean, after suffering and dying for all of God's people to win their salvation, it's only fitting, it's only natural, it's only right that the clouds just take Him away so that He might sit at God's right hand to rule over all. Jesus, He rules as King, and what else does He do? He acts as our heavenly high priest. This is something that the Belgian Confession really picks up on in this article and emphasizes. You remember the work of the priest in the Old Testament. What did the priest do? The priest, he represented the people before God. He would take their sacrifices and bring them into the sanctuary before God. He would present the sacrifice and plead God's grace on behalf of the people. Well, that's what Christ does now for us up in heaven. Up in the heavenly sanctuary, Christ pleads for grace, for mercy on our behalf, all on the basis of His own sacrifice. In that, He intercedes on our behalf. That's what Christ does now. So in that, Christ continues to be then our lawyer. That's right. He's not only our lawyer in justification, He just doesn't plead our case so that we might obtain a favorable verdict. No, he remains our lawyer, so to speak, in our sanctification. When we fall, Jesus, he pleads on our behalf. When we fall, Jesus says, Father, your child has collapsed again. Be gracious to him. Help him up. That's what Jesus does for us. In that, Jesus is the perfect high priest. He is the perfect lawyer, the perfect intercessor. So I think of Hebrews chapter 4 in that regard. In Hebrews 4, the apostle says there, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. You catch that? Basically, the apostle is saying that up in heaven, Jesus is saying to the Father, Father, I see 10 Benjamins struggling with sin and temptation down there, but Father, I know what that's like. I have been there myself. It's not easy. This requires strength. It requires grace. Father, be merciful to him. That's what Jesus does as our intercessor. Notice, too, how, in what way, Jesus is up in heaven now. Jesus is up in heaven in his human body. When Jesus went up into heaven, it's not like his body all of a sudden just disappeared. No, his body is still there. Jesus went up into heaven with his body. That's how he will return again. That's how we will return, so that's how he is there right now. And so when the Father looks at Jesus, what does he see? He doesn't just see the divinity of the second person of the Trinity, you know, the invisible part. No, he sees Jesus in his perfect humanity, in his body. And when he sees Christ that way, you know what he sees? He sees you and he sees me. Absolutely. Jesus is our head. He's our representative. When the Father sees Jesus in his humanity, he sees us in our humanity down below. And when our Father sees how Christ the Son pleads, how Christ the Son prays, and how Christ the Son intercedes on our behalf, he also sees how we plead, and how we pray, and how we cry down here on earth. And does the Father ignore all of this? He does not. He responds and he blesses and he picks us up again and he urges us along again, all by the power of his Spirit. Congregation, I submit to you that this intercession of Christ, it has implications for our lives and for our struggles. Like I said, sometimes we feel scared. Sanctification, really growing in the Lord, it can often be such a very tough and struggling thing. We try to live the Christian life, but you know how it goes. We fail, we fall, we sin again. And sometimes in the midst of this, we get a little hard on ourselves. We get hard on ourselves, and sometimes others get hard on us too. They point out our faults. They say, you're a Christian, and you did that? People get hard on us, and so does the devil. Sometimes the devil, he also says, you're a Christian, and you do that? You better give it up, man. Forget it. Run away. Give up on your God. In such circumstances, what do? Do we run? Do we kind of hide from God a little bit? Even like Christians would do in the past, like in the Middle Ages, some Christians, and like some Christians still do today, we hide from God instead of going to him and praying to him. Instead of going to God, some people pray to the saints. We say, saints can talk to God for us. Or we can talk to Mother Mary. Mary, maybe you can talk to God for us. We do nothing of the sort. We go to the Father, relying on the intercessor, Jesus Christ. He's perfect for this task. He's God and he's man. He's been here. He knows our situation. He suffered and he died and he rose to win our salvation. And so he will not ever let it drop. He continues to be our priest. As our perfect intercessor, he pleads our cause before the Father. And so in the sanctification process, we are always able to carry on. We have no need to back away. And so consider our blessings again. By grace, we're justified, we're declared righteous. By grace, we're in the sanctification process, we're under the Holy Spirit's care. We have his law, we have his word, we have his promises, and when we fall, which we will do again and again, we look up. Christ, he intercedes for us, and we are encouraged, and we are comforted. In that, I think of Romans 8. The passage of comfort and encouragement says the Apostle Paul in verse 34, who is he that condemns? That's what our world is full of. People who like to condemn. People who like to say, you're a Christian and you do that? Puh, you're terrible. Our world is full of people who like to condemn. But in light of the gospel, Paul says, who is he that condemns? Have you not considered Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. In light of this, Paul then asks, who will separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, nakedness, danger, sword? That stuff cannot separate us from the love of Christ. In verse 37, Paul continues, in all of these things, in the midst of people's condemnations, when people say, you're a Christian, in the midst of all of our own condemnations and the devil's condemnation, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. In the sanctification process, we will conquer, of course. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our intercessor and Lord. Amen.